January 6th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Internet users in India are having trouble reaching several high-profile sites blocked by their government. Apple is facing a lawsuit for not telling users about the amount of memory required by its flagship operating system. Netflix is trying hard to prevent its users from using VPN technology to access out-of-country content. Illegal downloaders in Canada may get a shock in 2015. Intel is working towards eliminating passwords by using your face to log you onto your favorite sites. And Sony's new Walkman brings incredible sound along with an incredible price tag. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Beltone First, a revolutionary new hearing aid. So small you can hardly see it. So comfortable you can hardly feel it. For the first time ever, you can control hearing aids directly from your iPhone. Pick up the phone, listen to music, and use your hearing aids like wireless headphones. Hear everything that matters. Try Beltone First. For a free trial, call 1-800-BELTONE now.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the Category5.tv newsroom. India's Department of Telecoms ordered the blocking of the sites in order to prevent the publicizing of jihadi activities. After considerable pressure, four of the sites, Weebly, Vimeo, Dailymotion, and GitHub, were unblocked. Officials said the other sites would have their blocks lifted if they complied with the law of the land, the Indian Ministry for Communication and Information Technology said in a statement. It was stated that anti-national groups are using social media for mentoring Indian youth to join the jihadi activities. It went on to say that the primary concern was that users posting material on the sites did not require authentication and that identities could easily be hidden. The four websites that have been unblocked were said to have worked within the Indian government to address concerns, although it's unclear what changes, if any, have been made. Some users were reporting that they were still unable to reach apparently unblocked sites. Pranish Prakash from the India-based Center for Internet and Society said any intelligent person can see that these sites don't incite terrorism.
Yes.
So, Robbie.
Yeah.
That's a whole security sort of mess that
you know
they're
what,
in.
You know what happens is that you get a site like YouTube, you get a site like Vimeo, and some content providers who are creating content on those platforms may upload something that is, you know, anti-government or mm-hmm. something like that. And the problem is, you get Twitter, you get Facebook, and all these services where the poor innocent other users who are not posting those kinds of things, if the government decides to block them, and this is, you know, notoriously Great Firewall of China, where constantly services are being blocked on account of certain users, mentioning on the on this list in India, Vimeo, for example. So Vimeo is one of the services that we use in order to distribute our show on the Roku platform. So if you use Roku in India and they block Vimeo, well, all of a sudden, Category 5 Technology TV is no longer available to you. How does that work? How is that fair? There's nothing about this show that would result in being blocked.
There are clearly other and better ways that they could be going about this, like blocking individuals that are feeding into that as opposed to the entire program itself.
You know, Sasha, I think the problem there is that we get lazy, right? And fact is, governments don't have time to nitpick through a service like Twitter and find the Twitter usernames that are causing dissension and block those Twitter usernames only to have those users pop up as different users again. And that's exactly what would happen on Vimeo, on YouTube, on any of these services. They're just going to pop up as new random usernames. So the easy way out is to block the entire service, but it's entirely unfair to the users of those services as well as the content providers who are legitimately providing exceptional content. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Apple is facing a lawsuit for not telling users about the amount of memory required by its flagship operating system. The legal complaint revolves around the iOS 8 and the amount of memory it reserves for itself on iPods, iPhones, and iPads. The complaint alleges that it takes so much space, so much more space than advertised, and there's far less left for people to store their own data. Apple has yet to issue any official comment on the lawsuit. The complaint has been filed in California by Miami residents Paul Orshan and Christopher Indera, who say that iOS 8 can occupy up to 23.1% of the memory available on some Apple devices. In addition, upgrading devices from the earlier iOS 7 to 8 can cause people to lose up to 1.3 gigabytes of memory, said the papers filed in support of the legal action. The amount of memory taken up by iOS 8 can mean users run out of storage and, the pair allege, this is helping Apple force people to sign up for its fee-based iCloud storage system. The lawsuit is seeking millions of dollars in damages for those using Apple devices facing the storage squeeze. So,
how do I get some of that cash, Olaz?
I know.
You made me look, and this is a brand new device, and we're talking capacity is 27.4 gigabytes. Available is 26.1. This is brand new. We've only used it for one demonstration on the show. Not sure if you can see that. There you go. 26.1. So 1.3 gigabytes of space used for the operating system version 8.1.2.
This some way reminds me of Facebook's, you know, you have to download this app. Yeah. You have to download that app.
But it makes sense though. Okay, so Apple is now, you know, maybe, I mean, we see bloatware over the course of Microsoft Windows and even Linux, where software is upgraded so many times over the course of its lifespan that suddenly it becomes, you know, there are things left in the operating system from three previous versions ago. And so it becomes bloated. So maybe that happens, but I know, like, when I'm purchasing any device, of course, you're looking now, and you know, 32 gig is the smallest, really, that you can get. They have a 16 gig, but it's impossible to find, and nobody...
You would just get the operating system.
You'd have no room for anything else.
Yeah.
But then it makes sense that they would then push you to upgrade to their online storage service, which is... been compromised in the past.
Oh, Apple. And now Netflix.
What now?
Actually, Netflix has taken new steps to make it more difficult for users to access the video streaming service outside of their home countries, which is a violation of their terms of service.
Oh, is it then?
It is. Netflix says there's nothing new about their strategy, and it maintains that it's okay for subscribers to use virtual private networks as long as they can be verified as accessing the service within the country that they're authorized for. In other words, if you're in Canada, you can't use a VPN to access Netflix in the United States, which I don't have Netflix, and I would like it, but I have heard that the U.S. Netflix is much better than the Canadian one.
Adam's over there nodding. Yeah, it's so much better.
So I would like to get my hands on that illegal U.S. Netflix.
Well, now, okay, it's illegal. All right, but how do these services keep popping up and legitimate? You know, they seem legitimate and they are available to you to use. I think what it boils down to, though, is licensing, right? Like we think, well, is Netflix US better? It has other programming. Why is that? Why can I not get certain programs on Netflix Canada that I can get on Netflix US, or vice versa?
How frustrating would it be to live so close to the border?
Oh, no.
Oh, and be stuck. I mean, we're only 3-hour drive from the border. In 3 hours, I could drive over there and get better Netflix.
Better. But better is relative, though. I don't like to use that term because it's just different. But what is different about it is the licensing. It's the copyright holders who say you cannot broadcast this program outside of the United States of America. So if I, as Netflix, am creating the service and adding shows, I'm not allowed to broadcast this to Canada. So if that's the case, if Canadians are using VPNs, I'm actually giving service. But what happened to the ideology of a World Wide Web? Like, something has to be done, Sasha. Something has to be done.
Netflix spokesperson Cliff Edwards said that there has been no change to Netflix's VPN policy. An update to Netflix's Android app in the fall included a hard-coded link to Google's DNS servers. As a result, users accessing Netflix through DNS systems that fake their locations found themselves unable to access Netflix without reconfiguring their routers. Netflix has increasingly been trying to obtain worldwide distribution rights to content, such as its deal with Warner Brothers for the first season of Gotham, which kicks in after the Batman original series finishes its broadcast run on Fox in the U.S. So, there we go. Mm. Here's some bad news for Canada. Good news with the gold. Bad news because Canadians accustomed to illegally downloading copyrighted materials without facing consequences could be in for a shock this year. The final piece of the Federal Copyright Modernization Act took effect on Thursday, requiring internet service providers and website hosting companies to relay letters from copyright holders to customers associated with the IP address where the illegal downloading is alleged to have occurred. While the notices themselves don't carry any immediate legal ramifications, they serve as a warning that a copyright holder has noticed illegal downloading activity at the user's IP address and could decide to sue. The law does not include a stipulation that the consumer must stop downloading any of the material or removing it from the website for which it may have been posted, but it does allow a copyright holder to sue individuals. Lawsuits could seek up to $5,000 for downloading copyrighted material for personal use and $20,000 for downloads that led to commercial gain. While the cost of litigation and the relatively small return could discourage copyright holders from suing, internet lawyer Alan Mendelson says it could be worthwhile to sue a large number of people at once. The hope, as the new rule comes into effect, is that receiving such a letter would compel the customer to stop downloading copyrighted material. I can say if I got a letter in the mail that said, we've noticed that, not that I do download copyrighted material, but if it said that I was illegally downloading it and they noticed and sent me a letter in the mail, I'd be like, how did they know?
People
feel like they're like working under the cover of darkness or something. You're being watched.
Yeah, that little piece of electrical tape over the webcam doesn't actually stop the ISP from knowing what you're doing on the internet.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's just the connect. You get the letter in the mail, and then you know you could be in big trouble. Intel has developed TrueKey, a new app that
TrueKey. It sounds so cute.
TrueKey. It's a new app that uses facial recognition to gain access to websites and devices. Intel's TrueKey was introduced on the weekend at CES and is the hybrid of their efforts after recently purchasing PasswordBox. The app is previewing this month with Windows computers and Android phones with facial recognition capabilities, but not on Apple devices. TrueKey will solely serve as a password manager for the iPhone and iPad, with facial recognition to be added when the app launches to the general public this year. Once downloading the app, users are prompted to register and take a photo of their face with a smartphone camera or webcam. The app will then open websites based on the user's face instead of having to enter a password. Intel's Securities Vice President Mark Hawking said the company's end goal is to eliminate passwords altogether. He said the app won't eliminate the need for passwords, but it will make it easier over time. It will be a long time before passwords are gone. Like PasswordBox, TrueKey will operate on a freemium model, enabling you to use the app for up to 15 websites. Users will have to pay $20 a year to use the app for more. Robbie, can I say that this scares me?
I want to see this thing work.
I want to see it not work for people who look like me.
That's true. Right. I was thinking that. What if I have a twin? Like an identical twin?
Well, Colleen, Colleen, who was here last week,
yeah,
is my sister. She has an identical twin sister, Beth. Now, Beth is not her evil twin. They're both amazing people.
However, she may want to do an April Fool's joke or something.
Exactly.
Tweet on her behalf.
Like, I'm fine with not typing in a password because my face is recognized. I'm not okay with somebody that looks like me doing like a Nicolas Cage, face off or something where they switched faces. I don't want somebody taking over my stuff because they have the same face.
Yeah.
So.
And where does it? I just wonder how accurate that can be. I'd love to test it because that's really the only way with something like this you can tell. I remember when the facial recognition unlock features came out on some of the Samsung phones and stuff. You could hold up a picture of somebody and unlock their phone.
What's
and so
more,
that's scary.
Actually, what's more is what if all of your security is dependent on this and you get punched in the face? And all of a sudden you have a broken nose and your face is no longer your own.
I just want to get onto Facebook. Not my fault that I got punched in the face.
Or walked into, you know, like, and I don't know, broke something.
Absolutely. What would happen then? I guess there would have to be, there would still be a master password, I suppose, that you'd have to be able to unlock your account. There's, that's got to be, this is the second factor.
It has
This
to
can't be just the way.
Oh, I have questions.
So many questions, so little answers.
All right. For anybody like me, born in the 80s, you'll remember, it's the Walkman. Sony is trying to make the Walkman cool again. The company unveiled its Walkman NWZX2 high-definition music player this week at the 2015 International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. While the device is getting a modern makeover, it is no longer the low-cost music player of the past. The new 128-gigabyte Walkman comes with a $1,119.99 price tag.
Before we go on, Sasha, I think we should probably say for all the kids that are watching, that cool-looking thing on the left there is actually the old one. And would store, what, about 60 minutes worth of music at the very most on a cassette?
On a cassette, right? That you would flip halfway through.
That you would have to turn over?
Yes.
And if you wanted to find your spot, you had to, like, skim over and then turn it over and try to find it, and good luck.
I liked it, though.
I did, too.
I don't know.
What a change.
It's all
in
a
our
huge
world,
change, and it's a big price tag. It may seem like a hefty price for a music player when many of us stream music on smartphones. However, Sony is promising a first-class experience that will appeal to audiophiles. I didn't even know there was such a thing. It's like the super tasters of the ear world.
Did you Google it?
No. Well, no, I didn't Google. I should have Googled it. I'm making up what it is. I feel like it's the what Gordon Ramsay is to taste.
Oh.
Audiophiles are to...
They're
like
the snobs of audio.
The snobs of audio.
Oh, yes, I use my LPs.
But I feel
because
like
they sound truer.
Yeah, your ears will already have been tainted by the old music, so how will you even know?
Yeah.
You've already, like, bled your eardrums from, like, putting things up too loud anyhow. The new Walkman can reproduce master quality recordings just as the artists originally intended, said the company in a news release. It also packs plenty of power, giving users up to 60 hours of MP3 listening time and as many as 33 hours of high-resolution playback, all from a single charge. The Walkman is not yet available for pre-orders, but Sony said it expects the device will be in customers' hands sometime during spring 2015. So, coming soon. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Duranis.